Dell PCs with Intel inside are built for every moment. With long-lasting battery life and built-in intelligence, you can stay focused on what matters most. Dell Technologies. Built for you. Dell.com/DellPCs.
Now, are all the traitors present? Let's get started, shall we?
From rags to riches.
I'm so sick of this. Working like a dog and being treated worse.
Yorkshire to New York.
We're climbers, you and me.
A life dedicated to revenge.
Let's make this an occasion to remember.
A Woman of Substance on Channel 4. Stream now.
Nate, I've got a challenge for you.
I'm always up for a good challenge.
I'm going to play you a song, and then I want you to read me the lyrics. All right, I texted you the lyrics, and if you could, recitation at tempo, please.
I would like a ring, I would like a ring, I would like a big diamond ring. let me try this again.
One more time.
I would like a ring, I would like a ring, I would like a diamond ring on my wedding finger. I would like a big and shiny diamond that I could wave around and talk about it. And when the day is here, forgive me, God, that I could ever doubt it. Until death, I do. Is he about it? If this man is testing me, help me, Lord, I need you to tell me.
Wow. Whew. Oh my gosh.
Not bad. That was my first time. I could, if I practiced that thing a couple times, I could be whoosh.
I am impressed.
Yeah, it's a mouthful. That's a toughie.
Today, Nate, you do not get a diamond ring.
Fair enough.
But you do get a crown. It is your birthday. Happy birthday. So happy to celebrate you.
This is clearly a metaphorical crown? You're not holding anything. There's no package waiting for me at the door.
When you reach core midlife milestones, your presents are the presence of your friends.
Yes.
Welcome to Switched on Pop. I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
And I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
We just heard Ray's Where Is My Husband, one of my favorite songs of the moment. Major viral trend, trying to say the lyrics. I cannot believe you pulled that off. It's a real tongue twister. This song is so virtuosic, and it comes from her forthcoming album. We are recording this on the eve of the release of This Music May Contain Hope.
Great title.
Great music from an absolutely fabulous artist. This is Rachel Agatha Keane. She's 28. She is from the UK. She is part Ghanaian, part Swiss, part English. She grew up in the church where her father directed the music and her mother sang in the choir. She first sang publicly to Nat King Cole's Let There Be Love. I know you are a Nat King Cole lover.
I am.
Her first song that she learned on the piano was Summertime, the Ella and Louie version. At age 13, she started making music in GarageBand. She went to 2 years of the Brit School, which is a famous free public art school.
Yeah.
Alums include Adele, Amy Winehouse, FK Twigs, Olivia Dean.
Lily Young.
Nothing to do. She gets a record deal with Polydor at 17. After her song Hotbox is discovered on SoundCloud. And she spent years writing hits for other people. Beyonce, Charlie XCX, John Legend. There are lots of hits that you knew, but you didn't know the name behind them. Because in 2021, she goes on Twitter and says, I feel like a toilet. She feels like she's being used by her label to make music for other people, to put out a constant slew of singles of her own, but not get to put out an album. She follows up with a huge hit called Escapism, featuring 070 Shake.
I remember when I first heard this track, I'd never heard of this artist, and I just had the sense that she was really going to make an impact. This song had so much happening in it. It had her virtuosic powerhouse vocals. It had these lyrical turns of phrase that you'd never heard before and went from really emotionally intense to kind of tongue-in-cheek. The production combined like old school soul with contemporary hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a statement.
Yeah.
And I feel like audiences really responded to this.
When you first heard it, you believed in it. She had a lot of self-belief because she went on to self-fund her debut album, 21st Century Blues.
Wow.
It dealt with really heavy themes of substance abuse, body dysmorphia, assault. It boldly crossed many histories of pop music genres, and it was a huge hit in the UK. She's one of the biggest stars I know without a top 10 song in the US. Escapism only went to number 22 on the Billboard 100. Her song that we heard at the beginning, Whereas My Husband, went to number 13. It's currently sitting at 17 as of this recording. It's climbing again. Yet she has over 10 billion streams of her songs. In 2023, she won 6 Brit Awards in one night, making a record. In 2024, she was nominated for multiple Grammys, including Best New Artist. And now she's bringing us her second album, This Music May Contain Hope. It's 17 tracks, roughly 75 minutes. It's got over 83 performers, including the likes of Al Green and Hans Zimmer. It features multiple recordings of the London Symphony Orchestra. Ray loves big sounds.
I'm a maximalist when it comes to production and vocals. Every bit of paint we can throw, and then we rein it back.
This is an album where she is artistically needing to find hope internally, I think at a time that we are needing to experience hope collectively.
And there's a nice progression there from her first album, 21st Century Blues. Now we're entering into a moment of hope. I like that.
This is an album that honestly needs to be experienced in full, no skips, no distractions. She literally frames it as a four-part album based off of the four seasons. Part one, autumn, then winter, followed by spring, and of course, summer. Originally, this came from over 50 songs.
So we're going to record for what, the next 7 hours and talk through this whole thing?
I would really like to. I think that would be an injustice to everyone's individual experience of listening to it. But what I think we can do is serve as a maybe field guide for the various musical lineages to help understand what she's trying to say on this massive work. Mm. Let's start at the beginning. The first song, intro, Girl Under the Grey Cloud.
Allow me to set the scene. Our story begins at 2:27 a.m. on a rainy night in Paris. Cue the thunder.
Theatrics.
Autumn leaves.
Oh my gosh.
The sky is dark. A woman in her late 20s walks from a bar to her hotel. She has no umbrella. She is 7 Negronis deep, and she nurses a hole she is desperately trying to fill.
Wow, right?
Wow.
We have this narration. We're really kicking things off. We are in a thunderstorm in Paris. She has autumn leaves underneath her feet.
Ah, that's what I was hearing.
Autumn leaves.
The jazz,
yes,
standard.
Jazz standard.
By.
And scoring the whole thing are these just classic Hollywood strings. The song sets the scene as a journey through desperation, eventually toward hope. The desperation continues on track 2, I Will Overcome. It's kind of the want song for the album.
The I Want song is what we call the number that usually comes like right at the beginning of a musical where our main character basically outlines their goals and hopes and dreams,
right?
very clearly for the audience.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the musical will be us following her, you know, success or failure at achieving those dreams. And I feel like, yeah, that's a cool way to describe this. Ray is sort of outlining what she wants to happen, and there's almost like also a Greek chorus of sorts here, adding to the theatricality. There's this call and response she sings, and then the chorus responds to her. Yeah, I love that harp in the background. That's a really nice touch. This is very auspicious beginning so far.
We're going to hear a lot of interplay between the orchestra and contemporary production, because it quickly turns towards a very contemporary style beat with heels clicking on the cobblestone, walking drunk and alone through the streets of Paris.
500 steps left to make it to the front door. My red high heels click, click, for many two drinks. I feel my backbone threaten to greet the concrete below. Mean wants to be in Paris, drunk and alone.
Wow. There's the orchestral strings swooping around her. And then there's that programmed drum underneath, giving it that contemporary feel.
So we've set the scene narratively, and she's also setting the scene musically. It's music that's going to be both from the past and from the present. And throughout, she's going to constantly make reference to all of the most important genres of pop music, including some of the great artists of pop music. So she sings about critics saying that she reminds them of Amy and that she may succumb to the same fate that was brought on to Amy by the sharp tongue and constant derision that she received. This is, of course, Amy Winehouse, the artist who is so responsible for the soul revival UK sound of the 2000s, who was also an alum of the Brit School. She died at 27, a dark, tragic death from accidental alcohol poisoning.
Yeah.
Ray also, I should say, went on to collaborate with Mark Ronson, the producer who worked with Amy Winehouse. Ray made a song with Mark back in June 2025, a song called Suzanne. And so the comparisons are appropriate, both genre-wise, collaborator-wise, and I think narratively within what's happening in their life.
Even though we've just listened to like two tracks at this point, I feel like it's already capturing what I love about Ray, what I loved about her first album, what I love about the live performances of hers I've seen. She crosses different genres like over the course of a single melodic phrase.
Yeah.
She does this with her voice. She's constantly shifting her voice. It'll become a little operatic and then it'll become a little bluesy and then it'll become like a little bit of hip hop flow, and then it'll be classic jazz, Billie Holiday. It's like she can turn on a dime like that. And as we've discussed, the music is doing something similar. It's going from, you know, jazz piano to orchestral swings to like hip hop drums. So I feel like that might end up being one of the themes of this record. Is that a fair guess at this point?
There are many themes to explore on this album. The one that I want to pursue with you is how she switches from musical tradition to musical tradition.
Mm.
From the get-go, I feel like we've heard a bit of the cabaret chanson.
Totally.
We begin in Paris. Yeah. She literally narrates the opening of her song. The chanson is a form from France that developed in the 16th century of theatrical songs. And she makes a direct call out to one of the great French singers, Edith Piaf, in the song I'll Overcome. Piaf rejected the label of the chanson réaliste, who sang songs of hopelessness. Instead, she wanted to sing songs about the joie de vivre. She wanted to sing songs that had hope in them, like La Vie en Rose.
Wow.
And like Amy and at times Ray in her life, Edith Piaf struggled with alcohol. She eventually died from liver cancer. So I think there's a lot of self-interrogation going on and making these comparisons. There's so much self-awareness to the record. I mean, we've already established that it has a sort of theatrical quality, like cabaret. This is a tradition where you will have an omniscient narrator who's going to tell you what's going to happen. We've already heard that from Ray being like, here's what's going on. And we hear that throughout the rest of the album. We're going to hear her tell you about what the songs are before she plays them.
This song is called I Hate the Way I Look Today. This is a song about the greatest heartbreak I've ever known. This song is called Nightingale Lane.
You kind of feel like you're at a concert with her listening to the album.
Totally.
And I don't mean to jump the gun here, but the whole thing ends with a 6-minute long song. The majority of it is her just reading the credits of all of the people who participated in making the album.
No way.
And the track is called Fin.
Fin? As in the end.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you to Grandma,
Granddad Michael, my sisters Amma and Absolutely, my co-producers Mike Sabbath, Tom Richards, Chris Hill, Pete Clements, Jordan Riley, Tone World, Punctual, Hans Zimmer and his team at Bleeding Fingers.
I love this for a few reasons. Not only is it like watching the credits scroll at a yeah. movie, but I'm someone who always takes the liner notes out of the CD or the LP.
Oh, yeah.
And reads every person in the acknowledgments just to see, you know, if I might learn something interesting. So I appreciate in an age where it's harder to get liner notes when we listen to so much of our music digitally that Ray is like giving us the acknowledgments as part of the album itself. That's really cool.
And to make such a over the top maximalist record, you need a lot of collaborators, and she's giving them credit as somebody, you know, who is in control of this entire thing. She is the writer and she's a producer on every song. The role of narration here isn't just for introduction and conclusion. It really helps set the scene. It helps emphasize the drama of things like heartbreak on a song like WhatsApp Shakespeare, which is a great name. I was ugly from my tongue. His weapons of mass seduction. My midsummer night, I met dawn and up like me. He's still out there. Romeo Ford, he's a 6'2 sick mother, 5 months minimum recovery from a sweet lie to the all-out Shakespearean voice notary. Though I'd like to clarify, no one did die in the story, but I didn't side when I found out I was one of seven other leading ladies starring in the new romantic thriller. No way. We have moved from the world of theatrics into the world of jazz.
Oh my goodness.
What kind of jazz are we hearing there?
This is like classic big band swing of the 30s and 40s. The kind of thing you'd hear, say, Count Basie or Benny Goodman playing, probably.
Right. Yeah. And what's neat is that she's got this giant orchestra with her to be able to play these kinds of tracks. But it's not the only source of inspiration from the genre. She's also going to take things all the way down to the sort of the small combo size on a song like I Hate the Way I Look Today. I hate the way I look today.
Such a shame that I looked into the mirror and I cried. This is giving me like Village Vanguard vibes. Like what are we listening to here, Nate? Yeah, this is more in the vibe of a, you know, kind of post-bop singer that is like after World War II, folks like Sarah Vaughan, Anita O'Day, Ella Fitzgerald, certainly. A small swinging group. There's a lot of interaction between the singer and the individual musicians. They're unlike with the big band, the singer is almost like another one of the instrumentalists. You know, they're part of the combo themselves. And it's a much more kind of intimate and, I don't know, spunky kind of sound.
It's really cool. She actually lets the instrumentalists have their moment. So, yeah, she really knows her genre. Check out the solo.
Oh, my goodness. Get out of here. Yes.
Wow.
Charlie, this is giving me life. Are you kidding me? A ripping sax solo.
Yeah.
Gang vocal responses throughout.
Scat, call and response.
At one point, yeah, Ray and the sax are perfectly in unison together. Yeah. This is, man.
Why does it excite you? I mean, obviously, I know you're a jazz scholar, but like, what about that sound gives you that feeling?
Well, it's the sense of improvisation, the sense of playfulness, and frankly, just in general, the sense that like an artist of this caliber and fame is not afraid to risk it all by playing jazz. I mean, to me, that in itself is like such a powerful statement, and it makes me feel like kind of hopeful. Oh, there we go. There's some hope
is arising.
Maybe young people are going to listen to this and be like, hey, maybe I should check out some of those singers I mentioned. Sarah Vaughan, Anita O'Day, Ella Fitzgerald. Maybe I, you know, maybe I want to try scat singing. Like that, that would be such a cool outcome.
Hi, I'm Brené Brown.
And I'm Adam Grant.
And we're here to invite you to the Curiosity Shop.
A podcast that's a place for listening, wondering, thinking, feeling, and questioning.
It's going to be fun. We rarely agree.
But we almost never disagree. And we're always learning.
That's true. You can subscribe to the Curiosity Shop on YouTube or follow in your favorite podcast app to automatically receive new episodes every Thursday.
There's basically been one guy in Republican politics who's argued for regime change in Iran for years. and for America to take a proactive military role in making it happen. Ambassador John Bolton, President Trump's former national security advisor. But now, even Bolton says Donald Trump is messing it up.
As far as we can tell, he did no preparation of the opposition actually inside Iran. No coordination, no effort to see what they would do, no effort to support them, to provide resources, money, arms, if that's what they wanted, telecommunications, just no coordination at all. And they don't seem prepared for it.
How Trump lost the Republican Party's biggest Iran war hawk. Today Explained, every weekday and on Saturdays, too.
In 1984, Apple launched maybe the most consequential computer ever. It was not a good computer, particularly. There was actually a lot wrong with it. But the Macintosh had all of the right ideas about what computers would become, and it kind of changed everything. This week on Version History, our chat show about the best and worst and most interesting products in tech history, we're telling the story of the Macintosh and why, again, despite not being very good, it managed to change everything anyway. That's Version History on YouTube and wherever you get podcasts.
She's not just getting people excited about jazz singers of the post-war era. She's going Baroque.
Ooh.
Not broke. Baroque.
We're talking Bach, Handel, Scarlatti. Oh, yep. There it is. There it is. Wow. That is Vivaldi.
Vivaldi.
From the Four Seasons.
Four Seasons. Why are we doing a Four Seasons?
Well, this album has a Four Seasons like concept to it, so that's very appropriate. Which season is this in Vivaldi? Is it winter?
I'll give you a hint.
Yeah.
This song is called Winter Woman.
Yeah, it's winter.
And so this is the winter part of Vivaldi's Four Seasons.
Can I just spit some quick facts about Vivaldi? He's such a fascinating character.
Sure.
He was this violin virtuoso of the 18th century. Hmm. They called him the Red Priest because he had this like voluminous, bright red hair. And at one point in his career, he was studying to be a priest. Spent most of his time in Venice, where he led a group at the Ospedale made up entirely of young orphaned women who were some of the best musicians in Europe, and many of whom went on to have their own spectacular careers as virtuoso performers and composers. And his writing and for strings and concerti especially was super influential, including on our friend Johann Sebastian Bach. So, Vivaldi, very cool to hear that in this Ray track here.
Okay, so what is she doing with Vivaldi? She is using the sound of winter to reclaim a sort of pejorative term used about women. So often women can be called frigid, icy, or cold. And she is basically saying the reason why I might have to put on this cold personality is because of the things that have been done to me. And I will put on a big winter coat, even when it's summer outside, to protect myself. She also, I should say, came out with her first EP in 2014 called Welcome to the Winter. So it's part of a larger world building. The Vivaldi is very earned, I think, in this moment. But it's not my favorite classical moment on the record. That hands down goes to Click Clack Symphony featuring Hans Zimmer, the great composer of every film score you've ever loved.
Are we going to get a Bram here, Charlie?
Ooh, there are no Brams. Okay, so let's just break this down for a second.
Okay.
We've got send the call out, send the call out, calling all my baddest women, it's about to go down, click, 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 clack, symphony, I need that. So the song starts with her narration that says, "Do you know the odds to be born on this earth are 1 in 400 trillion? I conquered those odds, yet I can't conquer leaving this house."
Huh.
And this is a song about sending out an SOS signal to your girlfriends.
Wow.
Saying, pick a dress, pick a time and an address. We're going out tonight. And the chorus continues by saying that, you know, her legs are hurting, but her back is still arching. And this sound reminds me that it's going to be all right.
Hmm.
The act of getting together, getting dressed up, even in heels that might hurt, they are worth it for the collective sound of the click clack on the cobblestones that we heard a reference to earlier on, which she had set up because, you know, of course she's going to do that. And we're going to go experience some joy even when I'm having trouble getting out of the house. How do you back that up with a score by Hans Zimmer? How to burn.
What? Felt like I was watching Interstellar all of a sudden.
Except the whole time you've got those click, clack, click, clack, the click, clack symphony going along.
The stilettos on the pavement. She's so good at taking the most relatable idea.
Yeah.
You know, of like, oh, I don't want to leave my house, but I know it would be good for me. And like turning it into something that is just so transcendent and like epic and majestic. It's a really cool transformation.
This is the most over-the-top dramatized way of saying, hey, you want to go out and like hang out? Like,
yeah, right.
Like, I'm having a tough time. She has turned this into a heroic act, almost a political act of getting out, being strong, even when things are getting you down.
You'll never be able to hear heels on pavement the same way after this, will you?
So there's orchestration all over this album with hints.
Hans Zimmer!
Hans just has one track. Dude, on the album.
I just keep picturing like a rapper, like, you know, Lil Jon being like, you know, Usher and Hans Zimmer. Anyway, what were you saying?
What was I saying? The orchestra is all over the album. It's not all classical music. I don't even quite know what to call the orchestra on the final track, Fin. It's giving maybe...
I don't think you're saying that as Fin. Fin.
Fin?
Fin.
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 Fin. I dropped high school French very early.
Yeah.
Fin is giving Mary Poppins Chim Chimmery. I had hoped you'd find your way to this piece of music. And that would mean all my friend we have met. It's very fun.
God, this stuff just pours out of her. My God, it's like, what is going on in her brain? It's so rich and complex and so entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. This is really unique.
She's going to use the orchestra in every way you can possibly imagine. One of the great performances is her live version of the song Nightingale Lane, live at Abbey Road with full orchestra, brass band, everything. Yeah. Highly recommend watching it. But you can hear the way that she uses the orchestra on that track is very different from what we heard with Hans, very different what we heard at the end. I'm elevated.
the screen didn't freeze. I'm in a state of shock. That is powerful.
It almost goes into like power ballad. There's a power ballad on here that I'm not going to play for you because you have to go experience it yourself, that I think is a direct nod to Prince and Purple Rain. There's also dance music on here. There is definitely rap flow and hip hop swagger. But the other two genres that I think are most important on this album are soul and gospel.
Yeah, I was going to say polka and heavy metal, but that seems more appropriate. So, well, you mentioned Al Green. Are we going to hear some of the Reverend now, or is that in the gospel part?
We're definitely going to hear some soul Al Green on the track Goodbye Henry. It's my pleasure to say that all the way from Memphis, Tennessee, put your hands together, ladies and gentlemen, for Al Green.
Hello, how are you? I hope you're well. It's nice nice to be on a microphone with a story to tell. I think of all the memories, some bitter, some sweet, the people I've loved.
Wow, he sounds great.
That vocal.
You know, this says something about the kind of kid I was, I guess, but I saw Al Green live at the Beacon Theater when I was like 16 or
what?
Something by myself.
What?
And it was an amazing show. There's something really funny I remember, which is that he, at one point in the concert, he reached into the piano and took out a red rose and, you know, gave it to a woman in the front row, and the whole place logged. We were like, oh my God, that's so, you know, sexy and romantic and cool. And then as the show progressed, he took out about 40 more roses from the piano and were given that. I mean, like half the audience had a rose by the end of that show.
That's so cool.
It was, he's one of the great singers ever. And he's not someone we've heard from in a long time, I think.
No. I mean, I think in a certain way, she is giving Al Green a rose. I mean, one of the great legends of soul music. She even makes a nod to his lyrics in this song.
So I squeeze his lovely hands so tight, and I told him, oh, I wish you only love and happiness. And swallowing...
Al Green, of course, sings the song Love and Happiness. There's a sample of Aretha Franklin's Rock Steady. It forms the foundation of her song Skin and Bones. And that's not all. James Brown is also on this record. Here is Damn Right I Am Somebody, a track that he did for Fred Wesley and the JBs.
Kid asked me, say, are you somebody? I said, damn right I'm somebody. What do you say when I say, are you somebody?
Damn right I'm somebody.
Lynn Collins, Miss Collins, are you somebody?
Yes, I am.
Huh. Well, she's a lady. Thank you.
Right on.
Mr. Ray, are you somebody?
Mr. Ray, are you somebody? Serves as the foundational sample of her song Joy.
Cool.
Mr. Ray, are you somebody? Mr. Ray, are you somebody? Mr. Ray, are you somebody?
Whoa. All right, we're going to get gospel. We're not going there yet.
Okay.
So she's bringing in so many great soul artists of the past. One of my favorite tracks here, though, is something original. It sounds like if the Supremes made Thriller. It's a song called Beware the South London Lover Boy.
Beware the South London Lover Boy.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
You know, everyone at some point in their musical career has got to use that bass line. That bass line originally comes from You Can't Hurry Love by the Supremes. There might be a precursor. I'm sure there's a precursor, but that's always my favorite. Mm. James Jamerson playing the bass. Iggy Pop does it on Lust for Life. Jet did it on Are You Gonna Be My Girl? And of course, Amy Winehouse did it on Mark Ronson's track, Valerie. And here is Ray doing it on The South London Lover Boy. Beware The South London Lover Boy.
Where the hell's my husband? Da, 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 da. And tell me, please, please, please. Musically, this feels like a compliment to Where Is My Husband as well. It's got this powerful groove and this like minor chord swells and these
lots
bluesy vocals. Yeah, this is cool.
And it's a song which is a warning to other women of like, watch out for that guy who is suave, he's showing up in a black car, promising you all these nice things with nice words. Not a safe guy. Watch out for him. And she offers that warning a number of times. One of those times switches the song up into a totally different genre. And I need some help identifying what we're hearing.
All right, girls, wherever you're listening, in your house, in your car, walking home from work after dark, I need you to repeat after me. Stay wary, girls. It's scary out there.
Say, girl, stay safe.
Wow.
It's kind of like a detective private eye kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a good description. I was going to say Van Morrison Moondance vibes, maybe.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes.
But there's another really cool thing happening, which is something you rarely hear in pop these days, and a accelerando.
Oh, yeah.
We actually speed up the tempo slowly as we move out of that, you know, detective noir breakdown back in to the Valerie Can't Hurry Love-esque yeah. Motown groove, which is just another little auditory treat for us.
Oh, yeah. There are songs on this record that, beyond just changing time, also modulate all over the place. There's one song on here, I'm not gonna give it away. You gotta go find it. That may modulate more than Beyonce's Love on Top.
What?
It just builds and builds and builds and builds.
Whoa, that's a tease right there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, you gotta go hear that. You gotta go listen to this
all
one.
Right.
But maybe we can leave today with a trip into the world of gospel. We heard gospel at the very beginning in the song I Will Overcome. This is, of course, kind of her take on the U.S. civil rights anthem, We Shall Overcome, which was originally a hymn called I'll Overcome Someday by Charles Albert Tinley, who was a Black Methodist minister and the founder, really, of gospel music. We have gospel in here. We've got the background chorus. We have this call to this song, which was popularized by Pete Seeger and Joan Baez in the counterculture, quoted by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. as a song of hope. And yet she's kind of playing it in this dark, minor, personal place. In some ways, it doesn't feel gospel at all because it's not about the communal. It's not about the congregation. It's about Ray. And so it's really appropriate then that the album takes a very different turn towards gospel towards the end on a song called Joy, which features her sisters Alma and Absolutely backing her up. Begins with a four to the floor dance groove with that James Brown sample. I mean, we have come full circle. We've got the Trinity of Sisters singing joyfully in this four to the floor drum beat gospel choir.
You know, ordinarily, I am kind of repelled by albums like this. I'm going to be totally honest. I tend to gravitate towards albums that have a really coherent sound throughout. This is not that, right? As we've discussed in depth, every track has something different. And then within each track, there might be like three or four different things.
Yes.
And yet my predilection for coherence, it does not apply here.
No.
Because what I'm realizing through this conversation is that there's a coherence in the lyrical themes, in Ray's voice being this anchor throughout the album, in the way she creates this theatrical experience. And so as a result, anytime where I might be kind of feeling like, oh, there's too much happening here, it's all warranted because this is more than just an album. It's like this cinematic experience that you're listening to.
It's a musical review of all of the best things I want to hear.
And basically the only question I have at this point is like, how are people going to experience this album themselves? Are they going to listen to it from front to back? Are they going to, you know, home in on certain tracks? Like, that'll be kind of cool to see, I think, whether this demands that sort of attentive listening that has been lost, frankly, from a lot of album length works right now? Or will it find a way to exist in this ecosystem we have of like deracinated single tracks just, you know, circulating? I feel like this album is going to crush live. I'm already like, where do I get my tickets for the This Music May Contain Hope tour? Because this is going to just bring the house down.
I'm really glad that whereas my husband has served as a hook to bring people in, I want more people in the U.S. to be paying attention to Ray. I think in some ways her music is big and over the top in a way that is not necessarily always easy. Mm. It demands sitting down and listening to the entire thing, I think. You want to go all the way through. I got to experience this in a big listening room with a bunch of other people in an early preview, and everybody was dancing in their chairs and clapping between songs, hooting and hollering. I recommend that kind of listening environment if you can. And I just think that this is the kind of album like Lily Allen's West End Girl, an album that takes you all the way through a relationship, meets like Rosalia's Lux, the over-the-top orchestration, you know, multi-genre powerhouse maximalist albums. This is in those traditions. And if anything that really gives me hope is that in this moment of conversation about how do humans belong in the world of music making when we feel like we're being replaced, nothing is replacing this. This is
totally
the most virtuosic, most practiced, performed, but also loose and improvised. It is the most human album I've heard in the longest time. And I think it contains a good deal of hope.
I would like a ring. I would like a ring. I would like a diamond ring on my wedding finger. I would like a bigger diamond that I could wave around and talk about it with a day. Say, ah, it's hard, man.
It was pretty good. Wow. Switched on Pop is produced by Raina Cruz, edited by Alyssa Soap, engineered by Brandon McFarlane, illustrations by Iris Gottlieb, video by Nick Rips. Our theme song is by Zach Gennaro and Jossie Adams of Archivers from Remember the Vox Media Podcast Network, which is a production of Vulture, which is part of New York Magazine. You can subscribe at nymag.com/pod.
Go to our website, switchedonpop.com. Sign up for our Substack. We're blasting extra little doses of music criticism to your inbox each week. You can also, while you're there, hanging out on the switchedonpop.com website, grab some merch. I'm currently, you know, decking myself out in t-shirts, getting a lot of compliments on the t-shirt, FYI, Charlie.
Mm. Oh, nice.
I'm rocking the mug. Let's see.
Do you have the board shorts yet?
I don't have the board shorts. I have the bucket hat, but I haven't worked up the courage to wear it yet. So we'll see. And what else? We'll be back next week with a brand new episode.
And until then,
thanks for listening.